It is November 24, 1935. O Holy Trinity, in whom is contained the inner life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, eternal joy, inconceivable depth of love, poured out upon all creatures and constituting their happiness, honor and glory be to your holy name forever and ever. Amen. When I consider your greatness and beauty, O my God, I rejoice exceedingly that the Lord I serve is so great. With love and joy, I carry out his will, and the more I come to know him, the more I desire to love him. So we don't love much because we don't love much. Is it? Our heart doesn't close to him, that's why we don't feel much. You know, it takes time to learn. It's not that by birth. We are born in his life, but we have to live in his life. You know, when you are giving birth, when we come out to our earth, to the world, we have to breathe by ourselves. No, you just operate and then you have to pray for yourself. I burn with the desire to love him ever more and more. The desire is very important also. The 14th, this Thursday, when we were having nocturnal adoration, at first I could not pray. A sort of dryness engulfed me. I could not meditate on Jesus' sorrowful passion. So I lay prostrate and offered the most sorrowful passion of the Lord Jesus to the Heavenly Father in reparation for the sins of all the world. When I got to my feet after this prayer and walked to my lila, I suddenly saw Jesus next to it. The Lord Jesus appeared as he was during scourging. In his hands, he was holding a white garment with which he clothed me, and the cord with which he girt me, and he covered me with a red cloth, like the one he was clothed with during his passion, and a veil on the same color. And he said to me, "This is how you and your companions are going to be clothed. My life from birth to death on the cross will be the rule for you. Fix your eyes upon me and live according to what you see. I desire that you penetrate into my spirit more deeply and understand that I am meek and humble of heart." So, to follow Jesus means like him, scourging on the cross, know everything, sorrowful. At times we think she got so much grace, have all the inspiration, but she had to pay, not for herself, for the sinners of the world. We too, we can share this. Today, for sinners is looking for, praying for sinners, we can ask her to give us helping hand that we share these great griefs. On one occasion, I felt an urge to set to work and fulfill whatever God is demanding for me. I entered the chapel for a moment and heard a voice in my soul saying, "Why are you afraid? Do you think that I will not have enough omnipotence to support you?" At the moment, my soul felt extraordinary strength and all the adversities that could befall me in carrying out God's will seemed as nothing to me. So always there's a temptation accompanying. The more you want to follow Jesus, the more, you know, different things, thinkings is distracting us. On Friday, during Mass, when my soul was flooded with God's happiness, I heard these words in my soul: "My mercy has passed into souls through the divine human heart of Jesus as a ray from the sun passes through crystal." I felt in my heart and understood that Every approach to God is brought about by Jesus, in him and through him. So the one verse, the heart, you know, very concrete. That is so the Blessed Sacrament in a special way. He is the living Sacred Heart of Jesus, no? When we say today, the Blessed Sacrament, it's a light. So come more often, come closer. Your heart that can light us. On the evening of the last day, November 15th of the novena at Ostrobrama, after the singing of the litany, one of the priests exposed the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance. When he placed it on the altar, I immediately saw the infant Jesus stretching out his little arms, first of all toward his mother, who at that time had taken on a living appearance. When the Mother of God was speaking to me, Jesus stretched out his tiny hands towards the congregation. The Blessed Mother was telling me to accept all that God asked of me like a little child, without questioning. Otherwise, it will not be pleasing to God. So, strict obedience. They'll ask all the time, why? Why? We asked many times, why did it happen to you and your family? At that moment, the infant Jesus vanished, and the Mother of God was again lifeless, and her picture was the same as it had been before. But my soul was filled with great joy and gladness, and I said to the Lord, do with me as you please. I'm ready for everything, but you, O Lord, must not abandon me even for a moment. So we say yes, but we need his help. As a matter of fact, whenever there is Jesus, by the side is always Heavenly Mother. So many times we say the rosary, even before the Blessed Sacrament, we also say to our Heavenly Mother, just next to him, next to him. In heaven, you know, Jesus said at the right hand of God the Father. So Mary said, I don't have a right hand of God the Father, but surely he's close to Jesus. To the glory of the Holy Trinity, I asked Mother Superior to permit me to make a 40 days fast. Not 3 days, 40 days fast. Taking once a day a piece of bread and a glass of water for 40 days. Even me for 2 days a week, and we find it so difficult. However, following the advice of my confessor, Father Sopoko, Mother Superior did not agree to 40 days, but to 7. Quote, I cannot take you away from your duties completely, sister, because of the other sisters whom I noticed something. I give you my permission to devote yourself to prayer and to note down some of these things, but it will be very difficult for me to protect you as regards the fasting. Really, I can think of no solution to this, the superior said. Go now, sister, and perhaps some lights will come to me. So the superior, you know. On Sunday morning, I understood that when Mother Superior assigned me as a portress during mealtime, she was doing so with the thought of giving me the opportunity to fast. So they have to go to the refectory to eat, you know. So in the morning, I did not go to breakfast, but a little while later, to Mother Superior and asked. I went to Mother Superior and asked her whether I had been assigned as portress in view of making it possible for me to fast unnoticed. Mother replied, when I assigned you, sister, it was with this in mind. I then saw that this was the same thought that I had interiorly. So in the Mother Superior also just leave him not noticed, no? Because you're staying in the refectory and not eating anything, just water and bread and no jam, no butter, no coffee, no tea, know, strange. Many times once I was in a retreat with the diocesan priests in Macau, in the retreat house, I used to fast on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. So that day, I come down to the refectory, but just bread and water, and then. November 24, 1935, Sunday, first day, I went at once before the Blessed Sacrament and offered to myself with Jesus, presenting the Most Holy Sacrament to the Everlasting Father. Then I heard these words in my soul: "Your purpose and that of your companions is to unite yourself with me as close as possible. Through love, you will reconcile each with heaven. You will soften the just anger of God, and you will plead for mercy for the world. I place in your care two pearls very precious to me, to my heart. These are the souls of priests and religious. Pray especially. You will pray particularly for them. The power will come from your diminishment. You will join prayers, fasts, mortification, labor, and all sufferings to my prayer. Fasting, mortification, labors, and sufferings, and then they will have power before my Father." So there are people praying for us priests in the world. There are many people doing sacrifice. They keep fasting. So at times when we fast, we see before ourselves, no. The people's in need, not only for sinners, for priests, for religious people. After Holy Communion, I saw the Lord Jesus, who said this word to me: "Today, penetrate into the spirit of my poverty, and I reach everything in such a way that the most destitute will have no reason to envy you. I find pleasure..." Somebody get me a water. Hot water. Sorry. When started? I take a sweet. "I find pleasure not in large buildings and magnificent structures, but in pure and humble heart." This is our poverty. It's humility. Very easy for you to practice now. Humility and poverty. So poor, we are the last of the last, right? Be joyful, because you're too close, you're close to Jesus. Don't blame. Why? Why shout to me? It's okay. Jesus like this. With the heart of Faustina, you know, joyful. "When I was by myself, I began to reflect on the spirit of poverty. I clearly saw that Jesus, although he is Lord of all things, possessed nothing. From a borrowed man's manger, he went through his life doing good to all, but himself having no place to his head. And on the cross, I see the summit of his poverty, for he does not even have a garment on himself. Nothing. Oh Jesus, through a solemn vow of poverty, I decide to become like you. Poverty will be my mother. As exteriorly we should possess nothing and have nothing to dispose of as our own, so interiorly we should desire nothing in the Most Blessed Sacrament. How great is your poverty?" Nothing. The sign of a white piece of bread. "Has there ever been a soul as abandoned as you were on the cross, Jesus?" So Jesus left alone most of the time. Nobody come to visit him much. On Sunday morning, of course, you come. But all the rest of the day, This is unknown. Even the times we come for just some time, the most of the time, this is unknown. Thank you. Thank you. Chastity is very important. There's no need to explain that this vow forbids all those things prohibited by the sixth and ninth commandment. Deeds, thoughts, words, feelings. I understand that a solemn vow differs from a simple vow. I understand this in all its implications. While reflecting upon this, I heard these words in my soul. You are my spouse forever. Your chastity should be greater than that of the angels. For I call no angel to such intimacy as I do you. The smallest act of my spouse is of infinite value. A pure soul has inconceivable power before God. Of course, she has the vow to keep chastity, but also, even you are married, you have to live chastity also. No? Obedience. I've come to do my father's will. I obeyed my parents. I obeyed my tormentors, and now I obey the priests. Jesus, no. Wherever we put him, we have no objection. You put him there or here, and then how we put him, he just keeps silent. This is obedience, man. Just can't imagine. I understand with Jesus the spirit of obedience and in what it consists. It concludes not only external performance, but also the reason, the will, and judgment. Obeying our superiors, we obey God. It makes no difference whether it is an angel or a man or who acting in God's stead gives me orders. I must always obey. I'm not going to write much about the vows. They're clear and specified. I'm specific. I'd rather put down the few general thoughts about this congregation. So, obedience, it's always and it's a virtue. Because for the religious, the superior represents the will of God. For us, the bishop represents the will of God. There are times now we find it difficult to listen to some bishops, different thoughts, different way of doing things, but still we have to believe that Holy Spirit then. General summary. There will never be any splendid houses, but only a small church with a small community consists of a few souls, the more than 10, plus two externs to look after the external affairs of the community and the church. So I think she's writing something about the future that she wants to start a new congregation. No? So she's not the one in 10, you know, small, and can pray all time, and two externs look after, you know, the doorbell. And these two sisters, you know, will not wear the habit, but secular dress. They will take simple vows and they will depend strictly on the superior who will be cloistered. They will share in all the spiritual benefits of the congregation. There must never be more than two, and preferably only one. Each house will be independent of the others. Although they will be closely united by the rule, the vows and the spirit. In exceptional cases, however, a sister from the community may be transferred to another, and also if there is question of founding a new house, Some sisters may be transferred if need be from another house. Each house will depend on the local ordinary. But this is her rules for the future. Of course, not existing. This is not the will of God for him. Each sister will have a separate cell, but life will be communal as regards prayer, meals, and recreation. Each nun, after her profession, will no longer see the world, even through a grill, as this will be covered with a dark cloth. The Carmelite sisters in the past also, when you see them, you don't see them, they have a black cloth, you know, at the back, and then just listen to the voice. And even the conversation will be strictly limited. She will be as if dead, not understood by the world, and not understanding the world. She's to stand between heaven and earth, begging God constantly for mercy on the world, and the priests be empowered so that their words be no empty, and that they, in extraordinary dignity and so exposed to risk, might keep themselves completely stainless. Though these souls will not be numerous, they will be heroic souls. There will be no room for cowardly or ineffeminate souls. There will be no distinction between the sisters, no mothers, no reverence, no venerables, but all will be equal, even though there might be great differences in their parentage. We know who Jesus was, and yet how he humbled himself and with whom he associated. The habit will be like that worn by Jesus during his passion, and they will not simply wear the the robe. They must also seal themselves with the marks he bore, suffering and scorn. Each one will strive for the greatest self-denial and of love of humility, and she who will distinguish herself most in this later virtue will be the one who is capable of leading the others. So the lowest one be the superior. Well, it's just a very great idea. As God has made us sharers of his mercy, even more than that, dispensers of that mercy, we should therefore have great love for each soul, beginning with the elect and ending with the soul that does not yet know God. By prayer and mortification, we will make our way to the most uncivilized countries, paving the way for the missionaries. So, you know, she's prayerful and missionary, the spirit. We will bear in mind that the soldier on the front line cannot hold out long without support from the rear forces that do not actually take part in the fighting, but provide all for his needs. And that such is the rule of prayer, and that therefore each one of us is to be distinguished by an apostolic spirit. Teresa of Lisieux also wants to go to Africa, no? In France of Assisi, he went even to Africa. You know, when you are really living the spirit of the gospel, you have kind of strength to go ahead, go up, go further to your country. So now you are missionaries in a way. So Jesus sent you here in a different way, as if you just a force of work, but still you are in a pagan country, pagan society. So this is, you know, they just pray hard for conversions of the souls to Jesus. Conversion means that not baptizing more, but let them know the love of Jesus for humanity. So first of all, you share this love yourself, get kind of free, joyful, and then how they feel, you're so different. And then they may ask you, hey, may I go to your church? You know, this is how we this do our apostolic work. Right? In the evening when I was writing, I heard a voice in my cell which said, "Do not leave this congregation. Have mercy upon yourself Such great sufferings are in store for you. Now this has, if you can see the kind of temptation, no? When I looked in the direction of the voice, I saw nothing, and I continued to write. Suddenly I heard a voice, a noise, and words. When you leave, you will destroy you. Do not torture you, torture us. I glanced around and saw many ugly monsters. So I mentally made the sign of the cross, and they disappeared immediately. How terribly ugly Satan is, the poor damned souls that have to keep him company. Just the sight of him is more disgusting than all the torments of hell. Oh, it's very interesting, huh? You're sure it's not the will of God that to start, but you have a good intention to start. It's still, with these sentiments, there's temptations, no? Very difficult, difficult, difficult. A short time later, I heard these words in my soul. Do not fear anything. Nothing will happen to you against my will. The will of God, no? After these words of the Lord, a strange power entered my soul. I rejoiced greatly that God is so good. So at times when temptation internally made the sign of the cross, sometimes when we want to be angry, you know, sometimes when we're envious, internally, or shout back, internally made the sign of the cross that Jesus guide you, guide us. Apostolacy, age of permission, that this is a rules for the future congregation, that this is already a rules. Any person between the age of 15 and 30, firstly, the spirit with which the candidate is imbued and the character are to be taken into consideration, whether she has the strong will and the courage to follow in Jesus' footsteps with joy and gladness. That's important. This way we follow Jesus, but with sadness, there's no good. Yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but very hard. No, be joyful. As God loves a cheerful giver, she must despise the world and herself. The lack of glory will never be an obstacle of a mission. In the past, you have to pick some lumpy money to give to the congregation first, then you can enter. So in case one day you leave the congregation, then you got some money back, otherwise who will look after you, no? So all formalities concerning the candidates must be clear. No complicated cases should be omitted. So no money is needed, but if complicated things not applied. Melancholy persons, those disposed to sadness, those suffering from contagious diseases, those of an unstable character, and those who are inclined to be suspicious of others are not adaptable to the religious life. They must not be omitted. There are some people a little bit, you know, thinking all bad things about other people, not about themselves. You're in a community, you think everything is there, doubting. Members should be selected with greatest care, as one ill-fitted member is enough to throw the whole covenant into confusion. Is it true, Sister Angie? Members should be selected with greater joy, with greater care, as one ill-fitted member is enough to throw the whole convent into confusion. You have the same experience? Just only one little soul. One, not stupid, but you know, just one. Always that particular behavior. You keep the whole community, you know, alert, allergic. Even a family, you know, you have one member. That is strange. Then you feel the atmosphere is so different. The duration of the postulancy. The postulancy will last 1 year. During this time, the candidate to examine whether she is attracted to this type of life and whether it is suitable for her. The directress should also diligently consider whether or not the person in question is suitable for this type of life. After a year, if the postulant shows evidence of a stable will and an earnest desire to serve God, she should be admitted to the novitiate. The novitiate is to last 1 year without any interruption. At this time, the novice should be taught about the virtues relating to the vows and about the importance of the vows. The directress should do her utmost to provide a solid formation. Let her train the novices in the practice of humility, because only a humble heart keeps the vows easily, experiences the great joys that God pours out upon the faithful soul. Humility, still very important. Also you, when you work, utmost humility, then you feel free. Otherwise, you are so, why you shout to me? The novices should not be burdened with duties that entail responsibilities, so that they may be free to devote themselves to their own perfection. They are obliged to observe the rules and statutes strictly, as are the postulants. After a year of novitiate, if the novice proves faithful, she may be admitted to make her profession for 1 year. This is to be repeated for 3 years. She may then be given duties of responsibility. However, she will still belong to the novitiate, and once a week, she must attend conferences together with the novices. And she will spend the last 6 months entirely in the novitiate in order to prepare well for her solemn profession. Mules. We have no mule. Our mules should be such that not even the poor will have any reason to envy us. Still, feast days may differ slightly from regular days. The sisters will eat 3 times a day. Fast, especially the 2 great ones, will be observed strictly according to the original spirit. The food should be the same for all the nuns without exception, so that communal life may be kept pure. This refers not only to food, but to clothing and the furnishing of the cells as well. However, if a sister should fall ill, she should receive every consideration. Prayers. Now, how she pray? 1 hour of meditation, Holy Mass and Holy Communion prayers to examination of conscience, office, rosary, spiritual reading, 1 hour of prayer during the night. As to the honorium, it's better to draw it up after we have begun to live this type of life. Suddenly I heard these words in my soul. My daughter, I assure you of a permanent income on which you will live. Your duty will be to trust completely in my goodness, and my duty will be to give you all you need. I am making myself dependent upon your trust. If your trust is great, then my generosity will be without limit. So anyway, we stop here. But these few words were also important that we can follow. You know? My daughter, I assure you of a permanent income on which you will live. Your duty will be to trust completely in my goodness. Trust in divine mercy. And my duty will be to give you all you need. I'm making myself dependent upon your trust. So the more we trust, the more. If your trust is great, then my generosity will be without limit. So we learn this phrase, although you are not entering the common, but this is the same. Trust. Jesus' words. The more you trust, the more grace you can take in. I mean, Jesus' grace is always great. The more problem is that we cannot take in because we are not, our heart is not great. So the more your heart is great, the more grace you can take in, you know. So start again this week, humble yourself. Not that lower yourself, no. Just to like Jesus, another Jesus. Dress like Jesus. Nothing. Dying on the cross. Strictly. Just for love. Just simple. We'll be joyful. Be joyful. Don't kind of painful look. Sadness surrounding your head. Your crown of thorns is like sadness, and you are always like the one who is the dying person. No, you are not dying. You are always live in Him. Okay.